The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Well, happy Thanksgiving to be everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Next week, I'm not real sure how this is all going to shake out, but I am live today, and next week I will let you know on Glass in the Morning. But I'm going to try to at least come in and maybe record a show on Wednesday that will be played on Thursday night, maybe on Thanksgiving, or there might be NFL football that would boot that. I'm not real sure, but we certainly want to be on air on Saturday morning. So we'll be on the air at some point next week, I can assure you that, but I just don't know exactly when. But we are on this week, and this week is the gift-giving show. It's a tradition we've been doing for maybe 10 or 15 years in this show as we approach the holidays. What are some financial gifts that you can give that will make a real difference in people's lives, whether it's a very young child that you're just reading to, maybe it's a 20-something that's just trying to get off to a good start, possibly someone like my age is in their mid to upper 40s that just, you know, could help, anything could help, right? Or maybe someone that's entering retirement. So we're going to talk about some of the different gifts that you might think about giving them. Most of them are not very expensive and could be very meaningful to them. But let's do a little news of the week brought to you by the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, supported by Comprehensive Financial Consultants. That's us. Learn more about Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame at mcshof.com. Well, let me get my sheet out here. Let's see, 2017. The Republicans have been in the White House, and the Republicans have controlled both the House and the Senate. Over the last 80 years, the S&P 500 has gained 10.7% per year when the White House and Congress were controlled by the same political party. And with only 7 trading weeks left in 2017, the S&P 500 is actually up 17.3%. So we just have to hold on. That comes from Buy the Numbers Research. Since the election, that was back in November of 16, all the way through November 8th of 17, the S&P has actually been up 23.7%. Now, that's twice the annual average of 10.2% that the index has gained over the last half a century. Again, that comes from Buy the Numbers. So that just means that at some point we have a reversion to the mean. Is that next week? Is it next month? Is it next year? Is it in 3 years? I have no idea, but at some point, this thing will slow down. And listen, it doesn't mean it has to go down. If it went sideways for 1 year, we'd be right back to the mean. So that's how that math works. And then I found this funny. Did I really say that? The University of Pennsylvania finance professor Jeremy Siegel said he wouldn't be surprised to see a 1,000-point drop on the Dow following Trump's victory on November 8th of 16. Of course, the Dow has gained 5,231 points as of Monday. That's not really a big drop, is it? The U.S. issued finally some long-term debt last week. $15 billion of 30-year debt was issued last week. The bonds carry a whopping 2.75% interest rate, and they mature in the year 2047. You know, we've been on this for a long time. Why aren't they issuing long-term debt? I mean, if I was a real estate investor and I could lock in debt for 30 years at, you know, under 3%, I would. Well, we've learned that it's a math game. They've been issuing shorter term debt because the interest rates are lower, and that made the numbers look better. But obviously, with the interest rates on the shorter end coming up, when you look at the 2 year, the 5 year, the 10 year, they're not that much different than the 30 year. So why not issue 30-year debt? So they're finally doing that. All right, I found this to be interesting because it comes from the Treasury Department. They say that individual income taxes paid by American taxpayers would have to increase 42% in order to simply eliminate our $666 billion deficit for fiscal year 2017. Now, you've heard us talk about David McKnight. We've heard me talk about the former comptroller, of the United States of America talking about how taxes would have to double for us simply to pay for the things that we've already promised people. So here it is from the Treasury Department saying they'd have to go up 42% just to pay for the deficit this year, let alone all the other things to come. And of course, the House passed their budget or their tax reform bill, and then obviously now has to go to the Senate. So we'll see if something actually gets done. The standard of living. Now, everyone has said, oh, China's going to take over the world. They're not taking over the world. China's economy is the second largest in the world behind the United States, but China's GDP per person is only $9,377, while the U.S. GDP per person is just under $62,000. So, in other words, the U.S. economy is almost seven times larger than the Chinese economy. And then just a couple quick things. Janet Yellen, as we know, has been the Fed chair since 2014, and she'll be moving out in February of this year. But I found it interesting that there was only 20 dissenting votes during Yellen's tenure as a Fed chair over 30 meetings, and none of the 20 dissenting votes came from Jerome Powell, which is going to be replacing her come February. So that comes from the Federal Reserve. So that basically says to me that more of the same. All right, and then finally, I was quoted in an article that just came out on MarketWatch, and kind of going to make fun of myself a little bit. It talks, the title is One Unexpected Problem with Retirement Savings, Knowing How to Spend It. And it starts off by saying, spending down retirement assets is one of the most challenging things Americans face when it comes to retirement planning. We talk about it a lot here on the show. According to the Government Accountability Office on the state of America's retirement savings. And then here's my just absolute kill it quote. The spending down phase in particular isn't something many near retirees are thinking about, says David Hayes, president and the founder of Comprehensive Financial Consultants in Bloomington, Indiana. Likely because current retirees are the first generation to actually have to deal with it. 401ks were started in 1978. Prior to that, retirees received a pension from a company and had spent most of their careers at that same company, he said, whereas now retirees are on their own. Have you heard that before? Well, I'm sitting here thinking, did that really, I mean, if a person was reading this article, I mean, sure, it maybe brings to light the fact that, hey, yeah, you have to do it on your own, but I really didn't provide any useful information. But I think I spent about 30 minutes with her on the phone, the person that wrote the article, and that's all she got out of me. So who knows? All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it has been a year after the election, and I was actually preparing my notes for the show and came across my outline from the show just after the election. So I thought it was kind of funny to look back to see what I was talking about or what I was talking to you about back then. And then I'm going to give you a little update on where we are today. So I'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, I was thinking about this tax bill that passed, which is supposedly cutting taxes, and how the Government Accountability Office simply says we have to increase taxes by 42% just to pay for the deficit this year. Folks, we're bringing more money. I'm preaching to you a little bit, but I'm preaching to the choir here. The federal government is bringing more revenue in today than they ever have. So do we really have an income problem, or do we simply have a spending problem? They never talk about the spending side of things. It's always about we need more revenue, we need more this, we need more that. What about cutting some expenses? I mean, if it was me in my household and I needed to increase income, great, I'd try to do that. I'd go mow grass or something. But if I couldn't find the income, what are you going to do? You're going to go cut your cable bill. You're going to quit going out to eat. You're going to, you know, cut down on the driving so your gas bill isn't so much, or make sure that your lights are turned off or your heat's turned down. But we don't do any of that at the federal government, so it's kind of nuts. But here, okay, last year at this time, obviously coming off what almost everyone believed was a shocking outcome, and I do say this, and I'm not trying to brag, I'm just trying to say this, that I said on this show that I thought that Donald Trump had a legitimate chance to win. Only because I had traveled all around a lot of rural areas and I saw Trump signs everywhere. Well, lo and behold, the election happened. I was still surprised. Don't let me fool you. I was definitely surprised. And back then, you know, we were talking about, you know, obviously just the week of surprises after the election. But I found it pretty funny. What I said was, hey, in my business of financial advice, I'm not red. I'm not blue. I just want to be green, right? Because that's the color of money. I don't know if that's something that probably went over very well or not, but that came from last year's show. And now I have my outlines all mixed up because I don't know which one's which, because we're doing the gift giving show the same time we did it last year. So I'm going to have to figure out which outline's which. But nonetheless, we're going to talk a little bit about where we are here in the markets with the tax reform. Looks like maybe gaining some momentum. The markets were up here on Thursday. We'll see how they end the week. But, you know, after posting gains every single week since September, U.S. stocks finally went down last week. The S&P Dow ended their longest streak of weekly increases since 2013. And the NASDAQ ended its own six-week streak, which has been absolutely on fire. And of course, why these declines, they're not great big and something you should get freaked out about. I mean, understanding why stocks drop after several weeks of steady gains is pretty important to understand. And the markets are incredibly complex, so we can't point to one single detail that drove that performance, but we can help you gain insight into what influenced some of the investor decisions that caused the market to sell off. I mean, in many ways, uncertainty, right, is to blame for last week's losses and from a variety of angles. And then as we saw some maybe certainty this today when the tax reform bill was passing the House of Representatives going on to the Senate, it gave maybe some hope to the market. And I saw the Russell 2000, which is a small companies rallied pretty heavy, more so than the other ones, and I think that has to do with the tax reform. But, you know, obviously healthcare was in the crosshairs, stocks dropped. As companies, they continue to analyze just the changing dynamics in that industry, including potential competition from the tech world. I mean, artificial intelligence, we've talked about that on the show. I mean, developments on medical devices, healthcare equipment could all create quicker disruption to the models that we've traditionally seen. So we saw that. We saw energy. I mean, obviously, tensions between Iran, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, just all geopolitical uncertainty. They always contribute to crude prices, you know, going up or down. And energy stocks lost ground last week after a pretty good rally. I mean, they've been stuck in the mud for most of this year, but this last, you know, what, few months, they've made a pretty nice run. And then, of course, the other thing that attributed last week, and I just mentioned again, was that on Thursday, November 9th, the Senate released its tax reform proposal, and then we had someone from Wisconsin come out today and say they're against it. So there's always going to be something they're against, right? But they got to get this thing figured out. But when we look what lies ahead, I mean, no one knows exactly when or how taxes might change. I mean, or who's going to experience the greatest impact. But for tax reform to occur, the House and Senate are going to have to work through the number of places where their plans diverge and align their political priorities. And at the same time, you know, this Federal Reserve could be raising interest rates anytime, as many as four times over the next year, which could also alter our financial landscape. Now, I'm not sure how that's all going to go, because the long end of the curve, meaning the 30-year, is sitting at under 3%. And when you look at the 20-year and the 10-year and the 5-year and the 2-year, it's pretty flat. And when you have the Fed working the short end, moving up, and the long end, which tells us about growth and inflation, which is saying not much, going, you know, the other way, you could potentially get what's called an inverted yield curve. And history tells us that when that happens, we are facing a recession. Rod and I were just talking about this at the office, and he said, oh, the so-called experts are saying, well, if we go inverted, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to head into a recession because of these things. And I said, Rod, you know what? I've seen two inverted yield curves in my 24-year career, and both times resulted in a recession. And I remember the last time it happened, he and I was together, and we in the same people said, well, it doesn't necessarily have to happen. I'm telling you right now, if it goes inverted, expect a recession. It's just the way it's gone over history. Now, has it ever gone the inverted and not had a recession? I don't know. I don't think so. So I'm just saying that keep an eye on that. If the long end of the curve keeps going down, you'll hear about it here on the show. I don't know if you'll hear about it in the national media or not, but that is very, very recessionary. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but just keep our eyes on it. All right, let's take another quick break. When we come back, it's time to talk about the fun stuff and what you came to listen for today, which are financial gifts that you can give through the holidays that can make a real difference in people's life, from very young people, people just getting started, to people that kind of just need to right the ship, or maybe it's folks that are heading into retirement. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. It is now the Gift Giving Show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, first of all, are we really this late into November? I mean, golly, time goes by fast. And here we are. My wife has purchased, my son turned 17 on December 9th, which is unbelievable. And as I reflect back doing this program, he was just a baby. He was 1 year old. So that means coming around the corner here in 2018 will be the 16th year that I've been on this on the radio. And I was actually cleaning out my, my father-in-law passed away, and we've been working on getting his house cleaned up and ready to sell. In 1 year, you remember, the billboards used to be around town. We haven't run them for a long time. Well, a few years, but he loved the billboards. So we had miniature billboards made for a float we had 1 year for the 4th of July parade, and I gave it to him for Christmas, and he thought it was the funniest thing. He loved it, and it was in his garage. And we were going there cleaning out at the garage, and I looked at that and I thought, my goodness, look how young I looked. So I'm 48 now, so I would have been 33, 32 when we first started the show. First of all, I'm asking you, why would you have listened to a 32-year-old, first of all? He wasn't that mature. I can understand why you would listen to someone maybe 47 or 48, but it was pretty shocking to see how much old Dave's changed over the last 15 or 16 years. And I know people will say, you haven't changed in years. Yes, I've changed. I've changed a lot. Trust me, I've changed a lot. All right, so it is the gift-giving show. And, of course, one of the things that I want to offer up is to the first 10 people that email us at cfci.us, we're going to give a free copy of our book, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning. We've been giving out a few of these copies lately. We're going to be doing a revision in 2018, but the current version is still very, very practical. The only thing that they will read that's not correct any longer is about Social Security claiming strategies, because those rules changed late 2015, starting January of 16. But for the most part, it's still a great resource for people. It says it's a resource for people over the age 50, only because that's the age when folks really start thinking about this stuff. So Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, a free copy of our book to the first 10 people that will contact us at cfci.us, and we'll either have a copy there for you to pick up, or we'll stick it in the mail to you with a nice little note. All right, some other books that I think are very helpful. Obviously, the Dave Ramsey books, the series, go to his website. Just a lot of great resources there for people, whether it's folks that are wanting to go through the financial peace university style of learning, or just some basic fundamentals when it comes to money management. Now, Dave and I disagree a lot on the investment side of the world. When he says, hey, just throw your money into something and it averages 8 to 10% and you can pull out 5, that's not the way it works in the real retirement distribution world, but 99.9% of the things that he says, I think, are right spot on. So go to his website. Also go to Ed Slott's website, irahelp.com. A lot of cool things. You can get the Slott report delivered to someone who's interested in, you know, taxes and IRA distribution planning and financial stuff, you know, stuff that a lot of people are interested in. But also there's some books there for people in their 20s and 30s that can help them get off to a smart start when it comes to taxes. I mean, some of the stuff that's in there is, for instance, you know, I'm married, you know, not making a lot of money, or newly married with kids or whatever. Why be putting money away into a tax-deferred vehicle when you should be putting it into a tax-free? Also, one book that we've mentioned many times before, this is a great book for a self-employed person. Are You a Stock or Are You a Bond? I've been talking about this book for maybe a decade. I'm not sure. Moshe Mileski wrote it, and it basically talks about you should invest based on how you get your income. So are you a stock? Do you own your own company? Yes, that means you're a stock. Your income could be up, it could be down, it could be gone, whatever, but you're a stock. So when you make that money, his point is, why re-risk it again in more stock or more ownership ways? So you should be putting that money away into bonds. Well, what about if you are a tenured professor at Indiana University? You can't get fired for much of anything, right? Well, that money is like a bond, so you should be putting more of your money in a stock. But I think it does a really nice job. So if you have a business owner hard to buy for, pick up that book, Are You a Stock or Are You a Bond? And then my friend Rich Klaus wrote a book. He was actually here on the show when they were in town for our mastermind group. Rich Dentist, Poor Dentist. Now, that's a pretty defined group, but if you have a dentist in your family, especially one that's just now getting started, I love that book, Rich Dentist, Poor Dentist. You can pick them up a copy off of Amazon as well. It kind of helps a dentist who's in a capital intensive business. It costs a lot of money to buy the stuff that they have in their office. And it's not like me. I don't have to buy a dental chair. I don't have to buy a machine that makes crowns or, you know, all of that other stuff. It's expensive. So that book has been very, very helpful to a lot of different dentists, I know for sure. Also, some of the other great books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Millionaire Next Door, Investing for Dummies. So if you have a young person or even an older person that's just kind of interested in learning about investments in general, mutual funds, you know, things like that, basics of investing, Investing for Dummies. It used to be required reading material for anyone that we hired at our office, but we stopped handing it out a few years ago. I'm not sure why. We should fire that back up, but it's a good book. It's something that someone can pick up and learn complex topics in a very simple way. So pick up Investing for Dummies. There's also another book. You have someone that maybe is, in their late 40s, 50s, or whatever, and maybe they haven't been, you know, gotten off to the start that they wanted to, and they feel like they're a little bit behind. Another good book called Start Late, Finish Rich. Start Late, Finish Rich. I like that one a lot. And of course, the old famous book for people heading into retirement so that they just don't fill up their time with junk, but they have a fulfillment of time, and that's Don't Retire, Rewire by our friend Jerry Sedler. So we need to have Jerry back on. It's been a while since she's been on, but it's a great book. It talks about how you get those attaboys after retirement. Why do you work beyond the paycheck? And again, it's just so that you don't retire and be one of these people that say, hey, Dave, I don't know how I had the time to work because I'm so busy. Well, what did you do today? I can't really tell you. That's when you say, I've just filled my time with junk. I haven't had a fulfilling day. A couple other things, books for kids. I like these, Money Mammals. I actually had the author of that book on our show a few years ago. But really, if you just Google books to help kids learn about money, you'll find some good ones. But some of my favorites are Once Upon a Dime, The Mysterious Money Tree. Those are good ones for sure. A couple other ideas for people that will be the gift that keeps on giving. Subscriptions, they're cheap because magazines and newspapers are, you know, having a hard time making any money. So they, you know, sell advertising, and that's how they try to make the money. And then they basically give the stuff away for free. So you can go to Kiplinger, Money Magazine, the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal is a little more expensive, but I mean, Kiplinger, gosh, I didn't check the price before I walked in, but the last time I looked, it was like a buck a month or something. So literally for, you know, 10, 20 bucks, you could sign someone up for a monthly Kiplinger subscription, a nice magazine. And I like their articles. I wouldn't say subscribe to something if I thought they were way off the wall. I mean, obviously they have to sell, right? So they put, you know, the 10 best things to buy in 2018 and all that, which, you know, I never follow that. But some of the basic articles on Medicare, Social Security, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's good. And obviously, you know, some of those others have been around a long time at Money Magazine. The Wall Street Journal, I think the best paper on the face of the earth. It's going to probably cost you more in the $100 range, you know. But still, if you're looking for a gift to give someone, it's kind of hard to buy for that's into that stuff. That's a really good gift to give. Other things you can do is set up, you know, pay off maybe a debt for someone, maybe set up a session with a financial advisor, sign them up for educational classes through IB Tech that we've been doing, or there's another online thing that you can send people to, edx.org or udemy.com, from the world's best universities. So, you know, sign something with something. It's kind of like back when I was 40. I told my wife, I really want to get back in shape. You know, I was an athlete when I was young, and, you know, you come back in your 20s, and, you know, you don't have to eat right or do anything, and you're fine. And then all of a sudden, you get into your mid-30s, and, you know, things start changing, and your belly gets big, and your face gets fat. And I was like, hey, I need to get in shape. But I wasn't doing anything about it. So when I was 40, my wife bought me a personal trainer for 3 months. And so she bought it, so I'm like, well, I'm going to go use it. The other motivation was people around me were saying, you'll never do it. Well, that's the only thing you have to tell me for me to go after it and do it. So, so whether it be a personal trainer for health reasons, but what about personal trainer for financial reasons? So if you set something up for them where they felt like, hey, you spent some money or took the time, then maybe they'll actually do it. Couple other things. I don't know. There's a lot of, you could, oh, I know the best one for me is just contributing to a 529 plan. You know, you can set one up right online if you'd like. You still have plenty of time to do it. And then you can receive your tax credit. Remember, here in the state of Indiana, the contributions that go into that plan for somebody will be given back to you in the form of a tax credit, 20% of it. So if you give up to $5,000, so $5,000 goes in and you get $1,000 back on your state tax return. So that's a good one for sure. There's a lot of other ones too, but I got to take a break. But when we come back, I'm going to talk about some more gift giving ideas and some of the favorite, my favorites for sure, coming up next. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. It is the gift-giving show. First of all, I cannot believe it's this part or this time of the year where we're going to be talking about this. But hopefully you get some good ideas on gifts that you can give, a lot of books and subscriptions and things like that in the first segment. Hey, you know, one thing I also wanted to mention, the you know, everyone loves to get a holiday picture with their family, but it's hard to get them together. It's hard to get them to dress up. It's hard to get them to stand still. It's hard to get the dog to stand still. It's hard to find the right spot where you get just the right shot. Well, we had a gentleman from Meadowood actually come into our office just today and gave me a flyer, and I just thought this was really good. I believe it's Glenn who dropped it off. Holiday family photo shoot, both on Saturday, November 18th. So that's this Saturday, or Sunday, November 19th, over at Meadowood. So dress up in your holiday best, bring your whole crew over to Meadowood Retirement Community for a family portrait, professionally done, and then they'll give it to you in a digital copy, and then you can have it, you know, printed off in all kinds of different ways. So they want you to call and schedule a time for your family to stop by. So if you do that, give them a call over at Meadowood. But the number is 330-4375. I thought that was a pretty good idea. And of course, you know, we always have to come up with tricks, gimmicks, ideas to attract people into our businesses. And I thought this was a great one. So it gives you a chance to go over and see how they deck out Meadowood, get a family photo, maybe even, I don't know, learn a little bit about the place. But it's I thought it was a good idea, so I thought I'd mention it on the big show. All right, let's go on with more gift-giving ideas. You know, for kids, even though none of us use cash anymore, I mean, occasionally I will, right? But not for the most part. But it's still fun. Toy cash registers for kids. You know, coin, the coin counters. Those things are a lot of fun. But one thing I thought was a great idea someone came up with was a toy cash register. And then have your kids during Christmas, especially if you have people over, set up a little store in the kitchen. So they could put, like a garage sale, you know, maybe they put little prices on things and they put some money in. It teaches them to make change. It teaches them to, you know, say, can I help you? Can I get you something? I think that's a great idea. And it's fun. You know, a lot of us sit around on the holidays and we'll play board games or something like that. So it gives a little guy or gal something to do in the kitchen. Coin sets, that's a great thing to give. Great stocking stuffers. I did this for my nephew for his 21st birthday. Bought a coin set, minted coin set. It was about, I don't know, 30, 40 bucks, quarters, nickel, dimes, things like that. Those are fun, and those go right into the stocking. Or, you know, maybe some other momentous occasion, an anniversary or something like that. But nonetheless, I think coin sets are a lot of fun. What else? I mentioned coin counters. I saw those for the kids. So you basically, those of you that save coins, it's fun. My son and I used to do it, get down on the floor and count the coins and separate the pennies from the nickels from the quarters. But on Amazon, I was checking it out last night, and you can buy pretty neat ones for like less than $20. Metal detectors, those are great and a lot of fun, especially like if you do a beach vacation. You know, kids are 8 to 12 years old or so. I mean, even older ones like it too. But, you know, and don't go cheap on these things. You want to make sure that you spend some money and they'll pick up the metal. I remember being different places with my son, and we got him a metal detector. And, of course, he thought he was going to find the biggest, best treasure ever seen in the face of mankind. But we would hide a few things, you know, and we did in the yard too. We'd hide things, bury things. And, of course, you want to mark them so you know where they are. And let them find them, and then, of course, you know, maybe make up stories about them. And it's good for the imagination, but it gives you a little adventurer a little bit of an adventurer's heart, I guess, when you go metal detecting around. So that's a lot of fun. Probably my favorite one, and this is one that's the fun. If you need to do this one sooner than later, giveashare.com. Giveashare.com. And basically what you do, giveashare.com, there are all types of company stock certificates online that you can buy, whether it be like a Disney stock certificate or Manchester United, which is the soccer team, or Hershey, Harley Davidson. I mean, there's a lot of Harley enthusiasts. Nike, Coca-Cola, Ford. Maybe someone retired from Ford or GM, and you could go on and purchase a stock certificate, just one stock, and you can get it framed up. It's really cool, and it's a nice decorative piece. We don't really see many stock certificates any longer, but they're still out there. Or what about some vintage stock certificates, you know, ones that are defunct? Last year, before the election, I actually purchased a vintage stock certificate of Trump Casinos that obviously went bankrupt, and gave it to Doug Hughes, and I think it's in his office. But the cool thing about that was the date the stock certificate was issued was Doug's birthday, which was somewhat ironic and unique. But yeah, go to giveashare.com. I think it's cool. My son's had a Pixar, which obviously was purchased by Disney. We still have the stock certificate on the wall, so I guess now it's vintage, and he has the Disney stock on the wall as well. And it's cool, and he gets a dividend check every 3 months, so you could teach them not only about, you know, now you own a piece of Disney, but you also now receive some of the profits of Disney. I think it's a great thing to show and display and learn from and all kinds of great things. So a lot of great gift ideas that have a financial theme. I'm sure I just scratched the surface of what you could give. If you have any great ideas that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear about them. I sound like the lady from Strange Inheritance, which is one of my favorite shows, by the way. Yeah, if you have any great ideas, I'd love to hear about them. Go to cfci.us. and let me know, and I'll share it with everyone on next week's show. So, hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's a time of year where we're thinking about, you know, family and friends and get-togethers and things like that. Well, I'm going to take a few minutes about creating a legacy. You know, what does that mean? Does it mean creating an inheritance for people? Does it mean memories and stories and things like that? So when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about creating a legacy. Maybe it's time to start doing that for all of us. We'll see how that discussion goes when we come back. This is YOMO with David Hayes. All right, everyone, welcome back. Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. If you want a complete list of these, I have them in an outline form of the different gift ideas. Feel free, again, email us over at cfci.us. You can actually go to our associates tab, see all the different associates, and email me directly if you'd like, and I'll make sure that happens, or email Jackie, or just do the general email, and we'll make sure that it gets to us so that we can get the list to you. And again, if you have any great ideas on gifts that have a financial theme, or maybe some fantastic books that you've come up against or read, please pass those along as well. Hey, also, before I talk about creating a legacy, I want to thank the folks out at Ivy Tech for the great retirement readiness class that we just wrapped up this week. I know they enjoyed it a great deal and got a great deal out of it. We have another one coming up. This one's specifically for Indiana public employees, anyone part of the INPERS system. We're going to be talking about all kinds of the retirement readiness stuff in our full-blown class. From estate planning to asset protection to retirement distribution strategies, investments, just creating a great life in retirement, to specifically talking about the Indiana public employees, how the rules work, what changes have happened in the last few years, calculating and getting the most out of your pension benefit, how to maybe even insure your pension, not just for your spouse, but for your entire family, and what to do with your annuity savings account once you retire, what survivorship options are available at the time of application. Those are irrevocable changes. So once you make the change, you cannot change. So it's very important that you learn all about this. How does personal savings, Social Security, Medicare, other outside investments all integrate with your decision? And, of course, how to turn your annuity savings account, 403B, and employer matching contributions into a stream of lifetime income. So going to be a good program. It is Ivy Tech sponsored class. It costs $15 to attend, and we're actually handling the registration ourselves. Coming up on December 5th and the 12th. So it's actually one class, but it's over two Tuesdays, 5:30 to 8 o'clock. So it's a lot of information. Very low cost, $15. You get two great textbooks. And anyway, we'll be there educating everybody on these great and important topics. All right. So about a month or two ago, we did a program at our Legacy Learning Center called Creating a Legacy. And as you look at the different generations, it's obvious that the children of the Depression, Bob Hope generation, sometimes they're referred to as, really were interested in leaving something that they never had, which was money. So the baby boomers are inheriting cash. Well, as the baby boomers age, you know, they're not worried about that. They're worried more about just creating memories. They're trying to create a legacy. And it's not estate planning any longer. That's an old term. It's legacy planning. And one of the keys to this is to leave letters of instruction. I was talking with people about leaving an income inheritance versus a full cash inheritance, and they like that idea. You know, what if you left your kids or grandkids an income stream that they can't outlive? I mean, wouldn't you think they would think of you every single month or quarter that they received that check? I mean, I know I would. We had a good story about a mother who passed away, and she left an income inheritance to her kids, four kids. And with that income inheritance came a letter of instruction that said, hey, you know, basically, here's why I did this. I want you guys to continue to do things as a family the way we've always done it, and here's the money to do it. Well, one of the things they always did as a family around Thanksgiving is they would gather around and watch the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. That was a tradition of theirs, and they did it every single year. And as they described, it wasn't just, you know, kind of casually watching the parade. I mean, everyone sat down and watched it from start to finish. So this was a pretty serious family tradition, watching the parade. So after Mom passed away, the income started coming. They knew the letter of instruction was to do things as a family that they've always done or would have liked to have done. So after about the third or fourth check, they got together and they said, you know what? Let's all go to New York City and let's go to the Macy's Day Parade. And that's what they did. They all gathered up their checks and they went to New York and they sat and they watched the Macy's Day Parade. And don't you think that they were remembering their mother in a very special way and wishing she was there? But they were thankful for the money she left them, and with the instruction not to go out and blow it on stuff. Don't pay your bills with it. Don't, you know, use it to put gas in your car, but use it for something fun. Well, I was telling this story to a group of people, and I started talking about, you know, something that I've been doing for the last 20 years, and that's going to the Monroe County Fairgrounds each year. And every year I buy an animal in the name of my great-grandfather, Jim Hayes, who founded Hayes Market. Well, my granddad actually started the auction, my great-grandfather, and every year he would buy the Grand Champion Steer. That was his thing, and he would, you know, that was a big deal. So when I first started doing this, I wouldn't buy the Grand Champion Steer because it was so expensive, but I would buy, you know, maybe a steer, maybe a hog, but nonetheless, I would buy an animal, and it was in the memory of my great-grandfather. 20 years ago, people clapped, they would come over and slap me on the back, and they would tell me stories about, you know, him and the store. And this year, it kind of hit me when we bought the animal in the name of my great-grandfather, and guess what? No claps, no stories, no nothing. And I thought, you know what? No one remembers it anymore. No one remembers him anymore. And I'm in the car and I'm driving home. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe I won't do that anymore because, you know, no one even remembers. And then I thought, you stupid guy, this is exactly when you need to be doing it. This is the time you need to be doing it because no one remembers him. And the only way to keep his memory alive is to buy the animal every single year, put his name on it. And that's how the legacy was created. Now, unfortunately, Grandpa Hayes did not leave me the money to buy the animal, so I have to buy it out of pocket, but that's okay. I'm hanging in there just fine. So what legacy are you going to create? You know, what legacy, what memories do you want to have? What stories do you want told about you with when your kids and grandkids gather? And that's what it's about. And maybe there's a way for you to leave, you know, leave an income inheritance with a letter to tell them, this is what I'd like you to do with this money. You can't force them to do it, but hopefully you can inspire them to do it. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and wrap up the big show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, rarely do I do a show solo, all the way through by myself. I actually invited Doug Hughes to come on. He loves to talk about the gift-giving show. He loves to talk about creating a legacy, and he wasn't able to make it. He got hung up at the office, but that's okay. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. All right, so it looks like next week's show will go on. It's not going to be live on Thanksgiving. I'll be stuffing. Actually, you know what I do on Thanksgiving? It's a tradition of mine, and I will say this, that so my wife's dad passed away in May, and we've always hosted Thanksgiving for her family at our house on Thanksgiving Day, and then a lot of the same people come back Christmas Day. So after he passed away, I suggested that maybe we just do one or the other, and she said, you know, this year let's go ahead and do both. And I'm like, okay, that sounds fine. But and I don't mind doing it. I don't mind it at all. But what I hate is the cleanup, you know. That's what I hate is the cleanup. So we were having breakfast at Bob Evans, well, or lunch or whatever you want to call it, after church last Sunday, and I'm enjoying that. And I was talking about this with her, what we're gonna do, what we're gonna have, and I'm like, okay. Well, I looked over to the left, and they were selling like this harvest feast, and you can pick up ham and turkey and green beans and mashed potatoes and rolls and pies and everything for like $100, and it fed like 10 people or 8 or 10 people. And I looked at her and I said, that's what we're going to do. So we're going to be having Bob Evans for Thanksgiving. I'll probably still do a turkey because it's tradition that I make turkey salad in my mom's special recipe for a lot of the family members. So I usually, after everything's done, and this year it's going to be a trash can, and I'll be scraping all that food into the trash can as cleanup. I'm going to pour a glass of my Chardonnay, which I always do, and start grinding up a bunch of turkey. And once the turkey's done being ground up, then I put all the goodies in there, package it up, and then I get in the car, and I drive around to the different family members' houses that look forward to the turkey salad, and I deliver it. So I have my nephew, Michael, who is a freak when it comes to eating this stuff. I could probably make 10 gallons of it, and he would eat, you know, every single bit of it in one single setting. So there's a lot of work to be done over the Hayes household, and this year it's going to be much easier as we just, you know, heat it up in the microwave. I know it's not a very traditional Thanksgiving feast, folks, but it's the best I'm going to do this year. So, hey, we appreciate y'all hanging out with us. We hope you got some great ideas on the gift-giving show. If you'd like a complete list, just shoot me an email over at cfci.us, and we'll take care of you. Have a great weekend, everyone. Goodbye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.